Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. Thank God for Deacon King Lumwa. Amen. Showing up at the right time. Amen. And so let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share the word of God to the people of God for such a time as this. Lord, we ask God that, Lord, you would bless them in a special way. That God, that you would allow the word to find a lodging place within our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would hide me, Lord, behind your cross, that I may speak a word of encouragement and inspiration to the people of God on today. So, Lord, we thank you in advance right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
We are in this thing together.
Yes.
It's a wonderful time when the people of God can come together to fellowship and have a good time. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Other than the folks that you work with, who you see 5 days a week, 8 hours a day or more, amen, we see the people of God the most. Those who have committed themselves to serving God, to those who have taken the opportunity to come to church every Sunday.
Yes.
For those who would spend at least 3 to 4 hours every Sunday praising God. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Those who come to Sunday school and then go to worship service. And then occasionally, I don't know how often True Way goes, but every now and then we have an afternoon service.
Amen.
And so we can tack on another 3 or 4 hours. Amen. Because we have not only dinner, but then we wait on the move of the Holy Spirit. And so that might be another 8 hours. Amen. And so then not just on Sunday, but then on your Bible study night, whether that be Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Amen. Tack on another 2 hours. Amen. You usually have prayer and Bible study. Amen. 2 hours. Praise God. And then there's special events like when we have our plays and have our cookouts and have our prayer breakfasts. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oktoberfest. Amen. Tack another 2 hours for each one of them. Amen. And then we have our special services. Amen. Our anniversaries. Our Christmas services. Amen. And how about weddings and funerals? Amen. Tack on another 2 hours. All this adds up, praise God, so that the church becomes the third place behind home and work where people who love the Lord spend most of their time.
Yeah.
Amen. Is that you? Yeah. Say amen.
Amen.
But I want you to know that the Christian fellowship, the Christian church fellowship, amen, is a fellowship that is better than our home fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Better than our work fellowship. Yeah, you can call that fellowshipping. What makes the church fellowship better than our home and our work fellowships? I'm glad you asked. Well, first of all, church fellowship is regular. It's scheduled. I believe at 12 o'clock, is that the time you have service? 12:30, amen. You're going to find Pastor Coulter here every Sunday. You're going to find the members of True Way here every Sunday. Amen. Same thing for Jehovah Christian Ministries. Amen. You can find us, amen, over there at 1420 Ritchie Marlborough Road. Amen. At 10 o'clock every Sunday. Amen. So it's scheduled. We know where we ought to be. We know where we're going to be. The other thing that makes church fellowshipping so much better than home and work fellowshipping is that it's a praise party every time we get together.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? We sing songs, we pray, we dance, we holler, we do all the things. We hear the word of God. Amen. When we come to church. Another thing that happens, praise God, is that you have a good time every time you come to church. You come with anticipation about what God is going to do.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't have to be wondering, oh, wait a minute, is it going to be another dead service? No, you know that God is going to move, amen, throughout the service. No one ever said that they're going to work to have a good time. Am I right about it? I hear nobody say amen. So when you come to church, praise God. I don't know what's going on with my mic here. Amen. I must have turned it off. On. Amen. No. On. Amen. Not working. Okay. Amen. I need a mic. So when you come to church, you are, when you leave, inspired. When you come to church, you come out invigorated. When you come to church, you can be delivered from whatever that ails you.
Come on.
And your spirit is lifted, amen, so that when you go to church, amen, you become a better employee.
Yeah.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, we come to church to be renewed, to be reaffirmed, to stay in the press, to be reaffirmed, to stay in the fight, to be reaffirmed, to stay in the process, to stay reaffirmed, to rejoice about who God is. And who he is to you. So when we, praise God, come to church, we're reminded of the authority and the power of God.
Yeah.
And his strength. How he rose up in us after we died to the world. And now we're living life and life more abundantly. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we're here today to fellowship and to praise God with expectations, just like they did when the Spirit showed up in our text. We didn't read all of it, though. We just read the last part. Amen. But you know, what happens is that we come to church expecting the Spirit to do something amazing. We come to church and we wait patiently, believing that God is going to do something major in our lives.
Yes.
Just like they did when the men of God assembled in the upper room.
Come on now.
They were looking for a change when they got together.
Yes.
That the situation that they were in would be changed.
Yes.
And that something new was getting ready to happen. We say, let God's Spirit reign on us. And especially because I need a new revelation. A new revelation about my situation. I need a transformation. Amen. That's within me. Not nobody else, but in me.
Yeah.
I need a right now fix. That's what we're expecting. And what happened is that when the Spirit of the Lord came, the Spirit came in a mighty way.
Come on.
So that the fulfillment of all your blessings can be found right here.
Yes.
Right here in the house of God. Right here in the unity of faith.
Come on.
As we gather in this house, His Spirit is hovering over the people.
Come on now.
Do you feel it? His Spirit, if you don't feel it, that's all right. Amen. For those of us who do feel it, amen. For those of us who can see it, those who can understand that the Spirit comes, amen, together when the people of God gather together.
Yes.
Your Spirit and my Spirit and God's Spirit all mingled together, praise God. Hovering over His people.
Yes.
The unity of faith, my brothers and sisters, is powerful and thoroughly engulfing and requires everyone.
Come on.
You come to church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You ought to be coming expecting something.
Come on now.
When you come to church, you ought to believe that God is getting ready to do something.
Yeah.
And it requires everybody. He's not just going to come to two or three. But the Spirit of God will come to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody will feel a change.
Yeah.
Everybody, young and old.
Come on now.
Men and women.
Yes.
Boys and girls.
Come on.
It spurs change at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it spurs change at work.
Mm-hmm.
It changes my thinking and my actions.
Mm-hmm.
It changes my attitude and my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It changes my love life. Ain't nobody say nothing. My daily life. My work life and my home life. When the Spirit of the Lord comes to the house of the Lord.
Come on now.
And so I just want to give you three things real quick. Amen. First of all, we must stand in unity.
Come on.
In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, praise God, that the disciples stood in unity.
All right.
To receive the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They were on one accord. In one place.
Yeah.
Just like we come every Sunday. On one accord. And in one place.
Because
we're expecting the Holy Ghost to show up.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says that suddenly, from heaven, a wind, a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting. And they weren't at work. They weren't in their individual homes. But they were on one accord, in one place, praising the Lord. Isn't that what we do at church? I don't know about you, but the power of God appeared as cloven tongues, as fire, and sat on each and every one of them. I don't know about you, but I would like to have been there. But you know what? I got an opportunity every Sunday to have the Holy Ghost show up in the house of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, so if we want more from God, we need to stand in unity right here and right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you know what I'm talking about, shout yeah. Thank you, Lord. If you need more from God, we need to stand together here in this church, here here in your church if you are a guest. We need to agree with where we are going. You know, people get so messed up, always worrying about not where we're going, but they're concerned about how we're going to get there.
Come on now.
Everybody has a way to get there. Come on now, somebody. Don't be looking at me like you know what I'm talking about. Everybody is looking, amen, to use their way to get there. But you got to understand, it's not how you get there. It's the fact that you're getting there that's most important. Some of the people, praise God, theologians say that the disciples were scared. That's why they were assembled up in the upper room.
That's right.
Some say, according to the word of God, that they came together to pray and fast and praise God. But the fact of the matter is this. But as long as they got what they came for, don't matter what the reason was. If they was afraid, then say you're afraid. But if you came to praise the Lord, if you come to magnify his name, if you come to glorify his name, then praise God. Then say so. That God is an enabling God. So it doesn't matter. So in the 42nd verse of the second chapter of Acts, they were continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Now, in the second chapter, verse 1, they were just disciples. Yeah. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. But in verse 42, they were the apostles of Jesus Christ. They received the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And they had promotion. It didn't come from the east, west, south, north, west. But it came from God.
Hey.
Promotion. When you get the Holy Ghost,
hey,
you might have the same name and the same position on your job. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you're got a promotion in the Spirit of God. You're no longer the same. Something has happened that has caused you to stand up and be recognized by the power that resides in you. You're no longer the same. Something is doing different inside of you. You now know how to magnify the name of the Lord. You know how to stand, hallelujah, in the face of adversity. No longer are you afraid, but you're bold in spirit because the Holy Ghost has shown up in you. Shout, yeah! Woo! And fear came upon every soul. And there were many wonders, wonders and signs that were done by these men who are now promoted from being disciples to now being apostles.
Thank you, Lord.
So what does it mean? Be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. It means that the Christians were taught the word of God. The apostles began to teach They no longer were understudies. They were no longer listening. But now they were teaching the principles of the Word of God. They were learning, teaching the principles of God so that others could be knowledgeable about the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
After that powerful move of the Spirit of God, they knew about the Spirit, but they didn't know how the Spirit moved. It was powerful. They witnessed in one day 3,000 members to the church. Boy, they had an administrative problem. Can you imagine taking down all them names and addresses and cell phone numbers and emails? Can you imagine how they, amen, had to write it down on their computers when they didn't even really know what pencils were? But they know that the Spirit moves.
Yes,
they know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But as Peter spoke, it convicted their hearts and it caused them to come to Christ.
Yes.
3,000.
Mm-hmm.
But we, the people of God, we do know who the Holy Ghost is. We do know that He will move.
Yes, He will.
He will move if we all are on one accord.
Yeah, yeah.
If we all would stand in the unity of faith.
Come on,
hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I have more stuff. I'm not going to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
My second point is this. We must be anchored in faith.
Yes.
All that believed were together and had all things common. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now I want you to know that if I'm going to sell all of my possessions and all of my goods, amen, somebody else better be selling their possessions and they goods too. And I better have, amen, everything I need. Because I already had what I needed. But if I sell everything, amen, somebody better be giving me everything I need. And guess what? So should everybody else be thinking the same thing. But you know, it takes faith to believe to sell everything you got so that every man would have everything they needed.
Mm-hmm.
That means that everybody didn't come to the party with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came with a little bit less and somebody came with a little bit more. But you know what? When they spread it all out, everybody had what they needed. And I don't know about you, but for me, that would take some faith.
Yeah.
It's so easy to become anchorless.
Mm-hmm.
Peter in Matthew 14:29, when he was walking on the water, was at first anchored in faith.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Jesus bid me to come.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about water.
Mm-hmm.
Water can be like life.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stepped out of the boat. Now, I don't know if y'all been on a boat before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not like you walking on the on a road. You just walk off on the road onto grass.
Mm-hmm.
You got to climb out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a drop from the top of the boat down to the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they were fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They're using fishing boats.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a drop.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about a good 5 feet, 4 feet, something like that. Amen. He had to climb out of the boat and jump in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he just walked on the water like this.
Mm-mm.
He had to jump out of the boat into the water.
Mm-hmm.
But his faith anchored him so that he did not go down.
Mm-hmm.
He just stood on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's not like you throw water on the cement and then you walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, yeah, I'm walking on water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is real water.
Mm-hmm.
This is real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was assured that when he jumped out of the boat, he ain't go down. He said, oh, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
He start walking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? He started walking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started noticing that the wind was blowing real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the other day.
Mm-hmm.
When you start blowing, you see the trees. And he began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He started going down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, as I was reading that, I never really saw it before, but you know, as I was reading that, the Bible says that when Peter cried out, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Wait a minute. If you drowning, you don't need nobody to stretch out their hand. You need somebody to grab you. Peter had lost his faith. His anchor was no longer his anchor. He's sinking. And he cries out to Jesus, Jesus, save me. Save me, Jesus. And Jesus just reaches out his hand.
Yes.
It doesn't say that he carried him to the boat.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't say that he dragged him to the boat. The Bible declares that he just raised his hand. And guess what? He got his faith back. And they got in the boat together. They walked on water together.
Yeah.
I want you to know that it's easy to lose your anchor.
Mm.
Yes.
It's easy to lose your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand one thing.
Mm.
And that is that when you come into the household of faith,
mm-hmm.
the purpose is to build up your faith
mm-hmm.
so that you can withstand whatever the enemy is trying to throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't need God to remove the item or the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I need the faith to walk on top of it and keep moving.
Yeah. You
understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you get that from the church.
Mm-hmm.
You can study all day long at home.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into the house of the Lord,
yeah,
and you hear the word,
uh-huh.
and you understand what it says,
uh-huh.
and the people of God all are there in the midst,
yes.
and the spirit moves,
uh-huh.
when you, praise God, walk out of the building, you walk out, praise God, with renewed faith,
yeah.
knowing that no devil in hell
uh-huh.
can stop the move of the heart.
Yeah.
That God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of faith. How about you? If you need that kind of faith, shout yeah. The song says, praise God, that my anchor is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the one.
Yeah.
He is my rock. And my anchor grips and holds the solid ground. The solid rock. The solid rock is Jesus. And when you, praise God, have made up in your mind that Jesus is going to be your anchor in faith, then anything that everybody says doesn't matter. They may say that it's the opposite, but our faith will say that it will come to pass. It can be done. Believe and have faith, because it's critical to our lives. Think about how Joshua and Caleb, they said, we are well able to take these people.
Yes, right.
They wasn't talking about the fact that they were superior warriors.
Yes.
And that they could win the battle. They was talking about the fact that God, who is the one that is powerful, he that has opened up the rivers of Jordan, allowed the people of God to cross over the Red Sea. The man that, amen, shouted, and the walls of Jericho came a tumbling down.
Yeah.
They went home after every battle. Not one man died. They were reminded that anchored faith makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My pastor used to always talk about shoreline Christians. Shoreline Christians. You can imagine. Shoreline Christians are Christians who like to stay on the shoreline. You ain't gonna catch nothing on the shoreline.
That's right.
But some more.
Yeah.
But as you take steps away from the shoreline,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and you begin to move, your anchor gets a little bit deeper until you find yourself out there with the sharks. You gotta have some faith to handle the sharks. Just like Daniel in the ninth den, you gotta have faith in God to believe that you can go in a den of lions that were hungry and survive. When you're out there, praise God, serving the Lord, your anchor must be deep. When the sharks come, they will look at you and say, not them. We're going around. We're going to find some other ones. Because the Spirit of God resides in you and it surrounds you. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They might want to come, but the Bible declares that no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah, yeah.
And every tongue that rise up against you in judgment, that God shall condemn.
Yeah.
Anchorless folks, tossed by every wind and whim. Soon as something happens, they at home. Soon as they get sick, they at home. They don't believe the anointing of God in the church house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't believe in healing in the church house.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, they want to stay home and deal with their sickness on their own terms. Not understanding that God is the one who is the author and the finisher of their faith.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anchorless folks. Fair weather folks. It rains. Amen. And when it rains, figuratively and literally, praise God, they got to stay home. They work 60 hours a week.
Come on.
But when it's time to come and give God praise, I'm too tired. They forget that it is God who has given them the power and the strength and the ability to work 60 hours. All God wants is a couple of hours of praise. But no, I've got to go home, lay down, and get some sleep on the Lord's day. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Well, let me get on to my last point, huh? We must glorify God. We must glorify God. I've been preaching too long. Give me 5 more minutes, I'll be done. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look, when we point to God, God points back at us. God makes a point to point at us because we're his people. Am I right about it? We're his people. God is pointing to us. Amen. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is pointing at us. And all we need to do is to point back at him. Look, when Zacchaeus, amen, when Jesus came along, he pointed to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today.
Come on now.
And when he got to Zacchaeus' house, there was a change.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost came.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost filled him.
Yes.
He was no longer the same Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
He was a new Zacchaeus.
Uh-huh.
He said, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. I robbed, steal, and took their stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we'll give a fourth. Praise God. I don't remember all the stuff he said he was going to do. Uh-huh. Amen. But you know what? He pointed back to God.
Yes.
Now, the Bible does not say that Zacchaeus became poor. Mm-hmm. After he gave all that stuff away, because he pointed to God.
Yeah.
Amen. He was not poor.
Uh-huh.
If he didn't have as many possessions as he had before, he got the Holy Ghost on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. He's a different man. But you know what? The Bible didn't say that he became a poor man. I believe that Zacchaeus had more money because now he was an honest man. Job didn't get poor. Amen. He lost everything. God was testing him. God pointed at him. Said, have you tried my servant Job? Oh, I don't know about you. But he tried Job, but Job pointed back at him, and he received twice as much as he had before.
That's right.
Abraham didn't get poorer when he gave his tithe to Melchizedek, but the Bible declares that Abraham became richer, amen, because he pointed back to God.
Yes.
So glorifying God is what we should be all about. He has given us the faith to stand. He has given us the ability to stand in unity. He has anchored us because we can't anchor ourselves. Thus, we ought to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. There's a song we used to sing back in our old church that says, to him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessings and glory and honor forever and forever. As we glorify God, God then glorifies us. My brothers and sisters, This is the place. This is where you call your home. This is the place where it will begin. This is the place where it will continue. This is the place where it will end. God will bless you as people are added to your congregation. God will bless you even the more. And when you begin to understand that the more you stand in unity, the more you're anchored in faith, and the more you glorify God, the more the blessings will come down. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God.